Thank you. Can you picture that?
No, 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 no.
You want to be accurate.
Consistent.
There you go.
You want me to run the timer?
But the other thing I found out is I am not to ask them for a pass.
Okay, yes, yes.
Just for a citizen.
Yes, yes. And we're not supposed to answer questions.
Right. Okay, I think we're ready to begin our council meeting for Manti City, April 15th, 6:30 p.m. And we're doing it perhaps, those of you that have attended public hearing before, we're doing it a little different than we've done before. We used to do the public hearing ahead of time, like a separate meeting, and then move into the council meeting. And today, we are going to start with our normal council meeting with our prayer and pledge of allegiance and our first two items, and then we'll have the two public hearings that are on schedule. So we welcome you. We are glad to see you all here. Thank you for coming and for your interest in what we're doing in Manti City. First of all, roll call of our members. We have everyone here, Councilmember Brian Francois, Jen Christiansen, A.J. Maurer, myself, Mary Winch, Mary Pipes, Megan Johnson, our city manager, Jason Brown, our city recorder, Matt Gray, and we also have our public works director. We're glad that he's here, Corey Hatch, who will be giving us some information. We will begin with Brian Francois offering a prayer, and then Pledge of Allegiance by Megan Johnson.
Our Father in Heaven, we are so grateful to live in this wonderful community, in this beautiful area that we call home. We feel very blessed to be here. We're very grateful for the rain that we've been receiving. We know that Thou knows that we need more of it. We pray, Father, that Thou will bless us throughout the season with sufficient rain to be able to meet our needs. We're grateful to have this meeting and for these individuals who are giving up their time to serve in the community and for the citizens that are here. This is how it should be. We're grateful for the opportunity to meet together this evening. There will be opportunities for individuals to be able to speak and to share their thoughts and their opinions. We're grateful for that. We pray that we would be able to accomplish all of the things that we need to this evening and do it in a way that will be a benefit and a blessing for all who call Manti home. And this we pray for in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Can I have everyone please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We do have a few seats over here, and yes, some staff there. And
let everybody sign in as well.
So we'll start with item one, which is our usual any declaration of conflicts of personal interest with any agenda items from the council. Anything to note? Thank you. Item number two, approval of recent council meeting minutes, April 1st, 2026. Any discussion or corrections noted for those minutes. I will accept a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll second it.
Motion made by Mary Pipes, seconded by Brian Francois. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. The motion passes, and the council meeting minutes for April 1st are approved. All right. The next item on the agenda is the public hearing for the accessory dwelling unit ordinance. We previously had an accessory dwelling unit ordinance, and we have made some recommended changes made. Just in summary, it has been, the purpose section has been shortened to three major points that used to be considerably longer. In section C, we maintained the language, but it was moved to a different section on detached accessory dwelling units. And we improved, or the wording was changed on section K to allow for improved flow and clarity. And also, the section F was moved for flow and clarity. Again, this was done primarily with the Planning Commission and with our city planner, McKay-Nielstein, assisting. Sections G and J were changed to include some other sections. There was added language outlining the creation of ADUs. This included converting its existing living areas inside home, adding to an existing home, and converting an existing accessory building. Section H, there was some added language about accessory dwelling units, and also in section I. And on section J, there were added conditions to be met for a second story detached ADU. And some additional language with conversion of existing outbuildings with details on second story height and balcony restrictions. Those were the main changes that occurred. The new language has been available in the city office for any of you that wanted to take a look at it, and is up on the screen at this point. Anyway, it is the purpose of the public hearing then to receive comment from any of you that would like to make comment. We request that you state your name, and we are only asking you to identify if you are a citizen or non-citizen of Manti. You don't need to provide address, just citizen or non-citizen. And then please keep your remarks to 2 minutes. And with that, we will proceed with the public hearing for any of you that would like to make comment.
My name is Shannon Miller. I am a citizen of this wonderful place. I'm in support of an ADU if people meet the guidelines as outlined and as changes may be made to make it work for everybody so that we don't have any trouble where there isn't any. Jim and I love historic properties. We've just finished our sixth historic renovation, a complete renovation and restoration, which is an antique dairy barn with a height of 30 feet and a square foot area of 647 feet. It's a Scandinavian barn, meaning one-third stone and two-thirds wood, with a gambrel roof, and it's just gorgeous. It's turned out really great. So we are very interested in meeting all these restrictions, and I wanted to just express that I really appreciate the council and the planning commission for rewriting and fine-tuning and making things work for others, because if you don't have a building that you're in and out of every day, it's hard to imagine what might exist that you didn't think of. So the effort is appreciated. I appreciate, too, everybody here, not only in front of me, but especially behind me, because it is the way it should be. And I want to thank everybody for being here. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ.
We can tell where you usually spend a lot of time. Is there anyone else? AJ is our timer expert. Excellent. Thank you, AJ.
All right. John Bannerman, 25 West, they have North Manti, Utah. So I tried to write some words down, and I'm going to keep it 2 minutes in respect to the council and the meeting. And I just want to thank everybody for coming tonight. Those that I've talked to have talked to me over the last year, year and a half of working on our project. I want to thank the city council for all their work on this and reviewing it and considering it. In addition to the 6 or 8 months that the Planning and Zoning Committee worked on the wording and fussed over things and asked us questions, I am genuinely grateful for all of that. Sorry, I can't read it. The last thing I'm going to say in my last minute is based on conversation, many, many conversations, but one thing I would like to express to the City Council is, again, appreciation first and foremost. Second of all, the intent of the ordinance and the interpretation of the ordinance are 2 separate things. I would ask that based on some explanations and things that I've asked and questions I've asked in terms of our specific project, which is what initiated the entire thing here, things that are very easily brought up in this wording that's up on the screen that in the brush of a hat or a single stroke can say, well, according to this, your building is or isn't in compliance. You know, and so I guess what I'm asking the City Council is based on everything that you've done and the work and the planning and zoning and everything, I can't help but not ask for specific your intent in regards to our project, and just ask that your intent in regards to our project is expressed when the permit is needing to be granted. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to make public comment about the additional dwelling ordinance? Going once.
Question. Sorry, I'm just in a rush and talking really fast, but I'm not exactly sure what I want to say. I did pick up a copy from the city and have gone over it, and I do feel like some of the things could be interpreted in different ways. So, like when I think of it one way, I feel like, oh yeah, this will be great, this will work, and if I think of it a different way, I'm not so sure that it will. So, I don't know if it's clear. In some aspects, and so that makes me a little nervous, and I don't know how to express that or who to talk to see, you know, which way it's being interpreted. So if you have any advice on that subject, I'd love it. And I guess this is not the time for advice, I don't know, but should I come talk to somebody later about that?
You're always welcome to come and speak with any of us, or McKay, or our city manager. But tonight, we're just here to hear your comments.
Okay. I guess my comment is that, yeah, just when you're interpreting a city ordinance, it just should be interpretable. You know what I mean? Like clear, clearly stated, so that it makes sense when you're reading it. Thank you for all of your hard work. I really do appreciate it. I felt like you guys have been awesome and really making some great changes. The city and lots of people really appreciate the opportunity to have options with their property and to be able to do what they want with what they have. So I really do appreciate all that you guys have done. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else for public comment?
Becky Olson, citizen. I too am not sure what to say, but I just want to express my disappointment in the struggles I've seen with people who are trying to learn and understand the ordinances and are continually being the ones that seem to be sacrificing the most and making the most. And I, as I've watched again and again, the patience of citizens trying to work with the council, with the whatever else has authority over all of this. I'm coming to see why there are citizens who don't want to even try to work with the city, and I would love to see a way to make that come together so we can be a community again, so that we can have the joy of a small town. That means we work together and communicate well and state things clearly so that there's not so many questions that are taking months and months. When my understanding was when the county gives a building permit, they do so with the city's permission. And to have so many things continue to find different avenues to slow down, I'm a little frustrated and I haven't read all of your stuff and I don't know, but just as a person watching, those are the things I have. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would care to make public comment? Okay, seeing none, we will close that item for the public hearing for accessory dwelling unit ordinance. Is there any discussion of questions that any of you on the council would like to bring up?
Yeah, but I don't know if this is the, because it's not on the agenda.
Well, I had talked to Matt about
that.
Yeah, we can have a little discussion.
Oh, okay.
The interpretation of that is anybody, maybe I'd like more clarification on maybe where interpretation may be confusing or misleading, or because I think we're writing it as clear as possible, and almost too specific in some instances. But if that leads to more open interpretation, then I can see how that could create a problem. So I myself haven't noticed. Had a hard time interpreting for me. I did. If has any of you, do you see that? Am I missing something?
I think we've tried really, really hard to make sure it's clear, and maybe it's because we sit up here and we deal with a lot of this, and we've been to trainings and things like that, and sometimes that makes a difference in the understanding of it. We are trying to make it so that anybody could read it and be able to tell exactly what it means. So if there are places where you don't understand it, that would be really good feedback for us to have where those places were so that we can make it clearer. So that would be a really good thing to come in and talk to McKay or Jason or one of us about at a smaller public hearing time.
Do you have a comment?
Sorry, as I looked over the state statute regarding accessory dwelling units, I've just relayed to the council what the state has indicated as the role of an accessory dwelling unit is. And it's in the name. It's accessory and it's incidental to a single family zone property. So with that in mind, it's one of the reasons why We looked at multiple different square footages for a structure, knowing that a residential one zone could be as small as 0.25 acres. One of the clarifications I think we need to add to the ordinance is the requirement for impact fees. One of the things that I recently learned from the state was regarding the impact that they will have not only on our water, power systems, and our wastewater systems. It's not specified in that, and I know the council could just simply add that to the fee schedule resolution, but I wonder if that should be noted in here, that appropriate impacts. Now, connection fees would not be appropriate, applicable at this, because you're tying to an existing sewer, existing water line, and generally existing electrical. So, but the impact is there to our utility infrastructure. So I would like to at least add a note in there that that would be required.
Okay. I was not aware impact fees were applicable, that we could charge an impact fee for an accessory dwelling. We can.
Absolutely, because they do create an impact.
They do. A huge impact on our infrastructure.
That would be my comment.
Okay. I was...
Jason, do we know what those impact fees would be for the benefit of those who are here?
We do. Studies have been already conducted in the water, power, and sewer for those particular impacts for a single home.
We did those a couple years ago.
It would be our standard impact fees for...
And so that would be a single fee,
apply for the
permit?
Yes.
Okay.
I would just add that when we are adjusting ordinances or making a new ordinance, our objective is to try to do something that is going to be beneficial across the board for the community, and not just next year and 2 years from now and 5 years from now, but that whatever the consequences or fallout from the decisions will not harm the community as a whole and will be beneficial to the community as a whole. And a lot of times, as with any ruling or law, when you make a decision or there is a rule, there are some people that are going to feel pinched by it. But it's designed to be in the best interest of the broader community, and that's where the challenge comes. But there are always opportunities for people in the future that would like to be on the city council, so just keep that in mind. Are there any other points that you would like to discuss?
I would just say one other thing. You know, so we're having the public hearing tonight. I think there was discussion about this ordinance coming up for vote in May, right? So if there are concerns about anything in the ordinance that you feel is left up to interpretation and could go one way or the other, if you just want to get some clarification on it, please take the opportunity after today to reach out to whomever to kind of see, because now is the time to make whatever adjustments or clarifications that need to be made before the vote is done in May.
And I'll just add our May council meeting is shifting 1 week back, because the first Wednesday in May we will all be at the Region 6 training in Richfield that evening. All right.
Can I?
Yes.
I'll try to make contact after this public hearing, but just to put a bug in your ear, for me, Jay and Kay need to be coordinated a little bit, because Jay talks about second story and Kay talks about balconies and views and windows, which I'm assuming means second story, but seems like some of those second story limits ought to be listed in Kay or reviewed by the planner to make sure there's not a question, because that's a question that comes up to me as I read.
Thanks. Well, we'll make note of that and talk to Kay.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
I know you did you close it on the ADU?
For you, I'm willing to open it.
Thank you. I don't know how to speak.
Name and citizen or non-citizen.
Rebecca Dedge, you're non-citizen. I'm just outside of the county lines, so, or city lines. I'm in the county, but I love Manti. I feel like I'm a part of it. I mean, my P.O. box is in the city. I just feel like when someone is trying to take a building that is dilapidated and falling apart and make it beautiful and better, that the city council should do everything they can to make that happen. And I know you guys set rules and boundaries and stuff, but maybe look at what that person is trying to do. And because I know a few people who are trying to take buildings, Nate Christensen, old historic buildings, make them better. The Van Ormans, this old building that's already there, no roof on it, they're trying to put a roof, make it look good, and I don't see why that can't happen, why there has to be such restrictions. And I think they were led on to believe they could do a lot of stuff, and then people came back and said, no, you can't do these things, when they already put so much money into it. I don't think that's morally okay.
Here.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, we will now move on to the public hearing for the short-term rental ordinance. Previously, we have not had a short-term rental ordinance, and there were some issues in Manti that caused disruption to neighborhoods and many communities in the state, many cities now are implementing a short-term rental ordinance for the protection of neighbors and the neighborhood. And that is why we have approached this. And again, it's been in the works with the Planning Commission and our city planner herself, and we've gone over a lot of the language and tried to put language in, as I mentioned before. It is not our aim to create problems. It is our aim to try and make things that will be beneficial for the entire community, not just one individual. We're trying to be even-handed on how we address things across the community, currently and into the future. So with that, are there any public comments for the short-term rental ordinance? And again, we'd ask you to state your name and whether or not you're citizen and non-citizen, and keep your comments to 2 minutes, and AJ will be our timer. So please come to the podium if you have comment. Can you come to the podium so that it can be heard?
Clarification. My name is Terrell. My name is Terrell R. Mavis. I'm married to Nola, and she has a house at 302 West London South. Okay. And the purpose, the very first paragraph of this, which says, does not apply. We have the problem. These regulations do not apply to hotel, motels, or bed and breakfasts. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I'm Sean Winterbottom. I'm not a citizen of Manti. But I spend a lot of time at the campground, and I just urged to make some sort of review of this to make sure it doesn't make an impact on the campground.
I wouldn't think, Jason, help me out on this, I wouldn't think it would have any effect on the campground.
No, very not.
I don't think it would either, just looking through it, but it's just nice to review it, please. Thank you.
Any other comments? for short-term rental ordinance. Please come to the podium, state your name, and citizen or non-citizen.
I'm so sorry. I tried to pull this up, and I cannot get it up. So I didn't get to review it. I'm Noah Van Wagenen Davis, and we're temporarily caring for a man in Ephraim that won't be living too much longer. So right now, my home is being Airbnb'd out. Okay. So is the intent of this hearing to eliminate and be rid of Airbnb? It said B&B's there, but is the intent of...
B&B is bed and breakfast.
Yeah, so would that include the Airbnb then?
Airbnb is a separate. Jason, an Airbnb is usually...
That's a company.
No,
a vacation rental.
Vacation rental is generic.
Or short-term rental.
Short-term rental.
Okay, so is the intent of this hearing to prepare to perhaps be rid of Airbnb?
No, the intent of, and I'm sorry that I didn't explain a little bit more, the intent of this ordinance is that we do have multiple short-term rentals. I'll use that term because Airbnb is a company, as is Vrbo and others. Short-term rentals have adversely impacted neighborhoods because of the number of people that have come to use the short-term rental, the noise they have made, the critters they've brought along with them, and most communities are also trying to restrict, and we would be one of those now, so that you don't have an entire neighborhood that is short-term rental. There are some places in Utah that are closer to recreational areas, and the entire town is being turned into short-term rentals. So we're trying to have some policies in place that will allow short-term rentals, but also not detract from the housing availability, which is occurring in some communities because so many... And in some places, it's corporations coming in and buying houses that are being developed and turning them all into short-term rentals.
I do agree.
So,
I wish
so
that would not.
We are trying to put an ordinance together, as with all of our ordinances, to protect this community now and into the future, and to protect neighborhoods now and into the future. That is the purpose.
Yeah, I agree to a portion of that. So you are going to write up some restrictions.
That is what you see here,
so
and this is available in the city.
I could have reviewed it. Okay.
May I
clarify?
Yes, please.
So I know McKay's out with the family issue tonight, but the bed and breakfast should be scratched off of that because a bed and breakfast is a short-term rental.
Okay, I guess I was thinking...
We would just scratch that off. In essence, it's hotels and motels that aren't affected by short-term rentals.
Okay. Because I was thinking in terms of, like, people that have had rented, like, a few rooms in their home, and then they provide bed and breakfast. They had a room or two.
That's kind of what evolved into short-term rentals now.
Yeah, you're probably right. Okay.
Good catch.
Thank you, and thank you for whoever mentioned that.
I'm sorry. Please give me 1 minute. And so, I agree that we shouldn't allow corporations to come in and buy homes and Airbnb them out. I don't feel good about that. In our case, we will be returning soon to our home. Like, this man won't be living much longer. But I do feel greatly that people should be able to rent out a portion of their home to Airbnb or some accessory dwelling. I just think that for centuries we've been allowed to do this, and I think that problems can be resolved, that I feel like it should be able to take part in all areas of our town. And that's just, and
if you have, after you've reviewed it, if you have some specific comments, please provide that. Thank you for your comment. Okay. I think if you please come to the podium.
Sorry, I was just trying to, Heather Weiss, I'm a citizen. I'm on the planning and zoning committee that we helped draft this, and basically we had complaints from the hotel and the motel in the city that so many people were Airbnb-ing out their homes, or, you know, that it was hurting their business. And then we had a lot of complaints from a lot of citizens saying people were partying all hours of the night. The neighbors were waking up to beer bottles and soda bottles and all sorts of trash on their lawns. Our home is back to back with one of those that used to be a vacation home. And, oh my gosh, the lights and the noise and the parties and the trash. It was insane, and it's impossible to get a decent night's sleep with all the parties. And so the reason why we drafted this ordinance, or drafted this, was to put a balance so that the hotel and the motel could still make money, but then also have rules in place like quiet hours between this time and this time. There's not going to be any trash. There has to be either the owner or somebody, the owner's representative, who is available 24/7 while somebody is there, so that so that complaints like loud parties can be addressed, or even like issues with the home or with the Airbnb itself, like a plumbing problem or something like that. Also, so much parking on the street that people couldn't get down the street, or people couldn't park in front of their own house. So that's the purpose of this, is to balance everything out and make sure that one section of the city isn't all Airbnbs while other sections only have a couple. So it puts parameters on how many Airbnbs or short-term rentals you can have per quadrant.
Thank you, Pam.
Very
well. We have other people that are making comments.
Sorry, I am
Nicole Beale.
I'm a citizen. Just a quick question. So for the B&Bs, are they the ones that were there originally? It might be in here. I didn't get to read the whole thing. And my eyesight's getting worse as I get older, so I forgot my glasses. But are they grandfathered in, or how does that work?
So there's a grandfather clause in there.
There's a grandfather clause.
Yes.
Thank you.
Tiffany Covington, resident. I wanted to bring appreciation to this ordinance. I found with owning an Airbnb that I have really appreciated being involved directly with the people that come to visit Manti, and that tends to be mutually respected when they understand the person that's behind the Airbnb. They're very, very apt to be very respectful, very kind, very generous in how they pick up after themselves and keep the noise down. So I think that's a beautiful thing that we are directly involved with the guests that are coming to Manti. I think this town is so special, and each individual that I've had the opportunity to interact with has felt how special this town is, that people still wave to each other, that we know each other by name, that we can walk down Main Street and go shopping, and where much is given. I think much is required, and maybe perhaps as residents of Manti, we'll bring it up that people can really come and experience Manti from a more personal level. These short-term rentals allow for that. I also wanted to give word to the relationship that I personally had with hotels and motels, because I think that's a good point. We only have one unit, so therefore we can occupy, you know, a small family. I frequently will call the hotels and motels here, the two, and ask if they have any availability and directly refer people to them, because I don't have the capacity to give housing to more than an individual or a small family. So I'm hoping that that is a mutually beneficial relationship that also allows me to heighten my services if the motels are offering something that I'm not, and vice versa. And in my opinion, that, again, kind of raises the bar for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Russ Hatch, citizen. Maybe an odd question, but this is strictly like for-profit rental rather than worrying about mother-in-law or a friend or a cousin being over for a little bit in your own home while you're there, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Wilson, again. I would appreciate, I know it went too fast, if you could just define what a short-term rental is so I understand exactly what we're speaking about.
Less than 30 days or less.
There you go.
There you go. Any portion of a primary residence or an accessory dwelling that is only used for a temporary stay for a period of less than 30 consecutive days by a renter.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comment from anyone who hasn't had an opportunity?
Zach Buck, non-citizen. I just want to thank you too, all of you, for serving public official. Public life is not an easy thing, and I know you're trying to get things right for Manti City, which I applaud you for. Just wanted to mention, they kind of go together. You use SCRs, they're usually combined, but these ordinances, you're doing the best for Manti City. It'll cover 90-95% of everyone. And then there's always those that are kind of outside the box that don't fit exactly into them. And I just give some, you know, recommendation in the future of looking at how one of them said, you know, someone's trying to make their property better. You know, if they're an island not affecting very many people, you know, maybe a variance could be granted. I mean, things are, you know, we live in a great country and everyone's trying to improve themselves and do better. And so, you know, if someone's trying to improve their property and their impacts could be minimal to the city, to neighbors, to the surrounding, you know, anyways, just food for thought. And again, I appreciate you for serving. It's that time of year, campaign signs are out in the yards and everything, and you know, good on you for wanting to serve and make the community better. So, thank you.
Thank you. I think we'll move on at this point since you haven't had an opportunity to read it, but we would appreciate hearing from you. You're welcome to contact us.
Very important.
All right. 1 minute, please.
When you put the restrictions for the short-term rentals, you can't. Airbnb, I specifically tell them that I will not have any partying, and I have certain limits time-wise for bed and quiet, being 10 o'clock and after. And so there's really great, I've had some incredible, wonderful people stay in my house. I want to tell you about there's been towns that they've gotten rid of all of their Airbnbs, and within a short period of time, the hotels rose their prices. They have a monopoly. Okay, and then, but there's times that families are bigger, and they would have to rent two hotel rooms to accommodate, and so it's nice to have a full home. And that, yet I don't want corporations.
Thank you.
Mayor, we received public comment from Ryler Vasco. So I'll do that at this point. It says, I have multiple short-term rentals and have been operating my second home in Manti as one since around 2023 with a city business license. For all our SCRs, we already have rules for no street parking with signs, quiet hours, and other regulations to ensure we do not bother our neighbors. It will be nice to be able to provide guests with a copy or the city ordinance so they know the rule isn't just coming from us as a host. It will also make it easy to outline what the penalties will be should they violate any of the rules. Limiting the occupancy to 10 people on a 5-bedroom house is low. I have even hosted two separate families of 11 and 12 people. They often get bookings of 10 to 14 guests, typically composed of two or three families with kids, infants. I believe the goal with the occupancy limit is to remove the likelihood of a large party, so I think this could be best accomplished by limiting the number of adults, as the first revision suggested, and also limiting the number of cars. For example, a 5-bedroom house should hardly ever have the need for more than 5 cars, 1 car per room, overnight. We ask each and every guest how many cars they will have to ensure they can park fit off-street and to make sure it's not a situation where a ton of adults are each bringing their own car to a party. We do have situations where local family members visit our guests during the day, resulting in more than 1 car per bedroom. However, this is not an overnight occurrence, and we inform our guests that there cannot be constant comings and goings. Some things to consider adding: restrictions and or bans on outside drug, alcohol, or smoking use. Restriction limit the automobile traffic coming and going from the house during the quiet hours. We don't allow constant coming and going from our house at night. This is one of the best ways to eliminate the likelihood of a party. And here is my only question. Since I already operate my SCR in Manti with a city business license, would I need to go through a business license process, or what would change for me? I see the section about being grandfathered in, but I am not sure what that grandfather should be for.
Thank you. Is there anyone else for public comment before we move on in our agenda? Please.
I'm Peggy Layton, and I'm a citizen. And Scott and I moved here 42 years ago, and we purchased homes every few years. And Scott has meticulously fixed them up. And presently, we've got a home over by the temple that he's restoring back to 1908. And it's going to be filled with the antique furniture from the period. It's absolutely beautiful. And we were hoping to use it as an Airbnb for people that go to the temple. Maybe families, you know, somebody's getting married, and people come. And is that going to impact us in any way? Because we've put our life savings into these houses, hoping that when we retire, which we are soon, and Scott's already pretty much retired, that we could live off the income and hopefully recover some of the life savings that we've spent. So is it going to impact us in any way with our plan? We haven't opened it up yet. It's going to be about another year, but we're working on it.
So I think, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the STR proposed ordinance, and it would depend on what things that you felt that you could meet or not meet. But our objective is to receive comment from you all this evening. Yeah.
Well, we've just planned our whole 42 years around retirement and having these homes, you know, provide an income for us. And so I'm just asking if that would impact that at all. But I will read this. Is there a way we can go online and get it? Is it, do we go to the city?
You can come to the city office.
Can I get a copy?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'll come and get one, and then we'll see if we have more questions. But I just wanted you to know that we love old homes. We've restored several of them, and we want to make a difference here. And we're using our life savings to do it. So we would like to get a little bit of that back before we die. Thanks.
Don't plan on doing that anytime soon.
Dying.
Is there anyone else before we move to the next agenda item? Okay, seeing none, before we go on to the next item, I will ask, do any of you have any discussion or comment that you would like to make about the SDR?
I have one. Number one on the purpose, I think we were going to scratch help promote affordable living. It seems to me when we, is that, I think that the last time we went over this, I asked about that, and he said, no, that was going to be scratched. So it's item D on number one.
Anyone else? Comment or discussion?
I would just like us to reconsider the limit of 10 people. I would shoot more towards 15 myself. I have a small family, and we have 10. If I take my mom and my one son without any family, we're still a number of 10. And that's not very many. So, I mean, Utah has large families. I don't think it's unreasonable. That was a good idea from Ryler about limiting the number of adults, because then you can stick kids on couches and whatnot and go up to 15 or 20 total occupants with 10 adults. I think that might be more reasonable than just a flat number of 10 people. So, okay. And I know we want to avoid what happened up at the Cox's house. We don't want buses of people, obviously, but I think there's a happy medium in there between 10 and 50. So that's all.
I did look up the national, it's not for short-term rentals, but it was just for rentals. And the national standard for rentals is 2 + 1. 2 people per bedroom + 1 extra. So if you had a 5-bedroom home, you'd be able to accommodate 11 people. If you're a landlord and you're trying to decide, is this going to work for my house, you could allow 11 people in a 5-bedroom home. And that, I don't know if that has anything to do with short-term rentals, but that is what the national standard is for rental.
Are you counting kids as people, though? Because five two-year-olds is, you know, versus two adults or five adults. That's
exactly. Yeah. And I understand all of this, and I have a large family, and I have families that go and rent, you know, but it's possible that if you've got that many people, you need to rent two instead of one. And I know everybody wants to stay together, or maybe even to do something else. I don't know if that's, you know, over. I don't know if 15 people, I know Masco's house, and I don't know if, I feel like 15 people in that house would be a little bit over for the neighborhood.
Right.
That's just my feeling.
Yeah, but 15 in the previous, 15 in the previous short-term rental that we had problems with is nothing.
Right, because that one was so big it wasn't really a short-term rental. It was more of a lodging. And so that's where you get into, is it a lodging or is it a rental?
Yeah.
If you've got something that has 8 to 10 bedrooms, that kind of goes over the line into a lodging rather than a rental. You could use 5 of those bedrooms for short-term rental.
Right.
But I think you still should be very cautious about how many people you allow to stay in there. And it's just, we've got to put a line someplace.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is your property. You should be able to do as much as you can with it. But I think because of the issues that are starting to come up with short-term rentals, we have to address it in some way.
I think along this discussion, though, considering where we live, and probably the reason that most people would come here to even get a short-term rental, you know, we're probably dealing with a lot of large families. I realize there may be opportunities where there would be all adults, you know, maybe they're coming to ride the trail or something like that. But I like the idea of limiting the adults, because you could have a couple of families coming in for a wedding or some family reunion where you have two adults and five kids, you know, and so you get four adults and ten kids in a home, that's 14 people, you know, and they're probably more likely to abide by the rules that we're trying to say here. So anyway, I think it bodes some additional thought about that, as opposed to just putting a hard number on there and just kind of considering what the demographics is, what the dynamic is.
So maybe one thing we need to think about, if you have 15 people for one or two nights, that's fine, but a short-term rental can be up to 30 nights. So if you've got 15 people staying there for 30 nights, that could be overwhelming for a neighborhood.
And it would be interesting for those, because I know there are many out here that have short-term rentals and have had them for a long time. You know, what is the average length of stay? You know, and maybe that would be some good feedback. You know, do you have people coming and staying for 30 days? Are they coming for two nights, three nights, five nights, less than that? You know, I would assume most short-term rentals are going to be just a few nights, but I guess I could be wrong. Just a few nights? Yeah, not generally up to 30 days or 29 days or 28, because they have a home they probably want to live in wherever they came from, right? So, you know, I know there's some what ifs and things like that, but the likelihood of some of those happening are probably slim to none. And the reality is more like what we've been dealing with probably for the last however many years that we've had short-term rentals in the community. So that would be good feedback to give on, you know, what are the average amount of nights so that we can determine, because, and then we can, you know, take a look at the number of people and maybe that would be some good feedback too. You know, are they mostly families or the adults, or what, you know, what is the demographic that's coming in? So anyway, but if there's feedback, again, now's the time to do it, because I think this is another one that we're going to be talking about in May, right, to vote on. So if you've got some thoughts or ideas or whatever, now's the time to do it.
Adults, would it be like what age range? Because I know some hotels or some places will do like 12 and up or 16 and up. Because like if they're old enough to drive, like where would that line be drawn for that?
We're not going to get into that kind of detail, I don't think.
Okay. But I'm just saying a consideration if you look at doing that, I would consider like maybe considering that, and that might make that difference a little bit too. Okay. I'm not saying we have to discuss it, sorry, but just something to think about. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion from the... I thought we...
My name is Kathy Gorwood, and I am a resident here. I run an Airbnb, and I just wanted to give a little feedback. You talked about, like, the average of how many people per rooms you have. Like, the Airbnb that we have, it has an upstairs that's kind of a loft with a lot of beds, but technically I think that would be considered one room, and so that was really what we could do, and we do have a lot of families with a lot of kids that come and stay, so I think what you were saying with, like, counting the adults, I think would be more, it makes more sense to me. And just for the record, like, the longest stay that I've had, I think, was, like, 5 days, and most of them are one night, two nights, so.
Do we have any more discussion from the council? All right. With that, we will close the hearing for the short-term rental ordinance, and we will move on to item number 5, water. The outdoor watering forecast for 2026. And we have Corey Hatch here to help give us a breakdown. By the way, I hope all of you that are walking out know that water's important. We hope you.
She goes for the we feel approach.
We hope you all like water to drink and to take a shower occasionally. Corey,
thank you, Mayor, Council, City Manager, everybody that's here. Obviously, the hot topic this year is water that we may or may not have. So I'm just going to give you a little update on the culinary side of things. A couple of weeks ago, well, it's almost a month ago now, time flies, we ran our well for a couple of weeks just to do some testing, some monitoring, and you probably saw your water had a little bit of white airiness to it for a little bit, just to make sure everything was going to be good in case we needed it. City has a backup well for culinary use that we very rarely ever use, but we did want to run it through the cycles a few times to make sure things were okay. But as far as the spring flow, which supplies most of our water, so we have 8 springs up the mountain. They vary in their production as far as water goes. Currently, we're on the tail end of the slow season, getting ready for the upswing of the big season as far as what they produce. And they are producing, so the last few days, we've used about 500 to 525,000 gallons of water a day for culinary use. And the springs have been producing ample amount. If you break that down, it's about 365 gallons a minute, roughly, the town needs. As the outdoor season kicks in, our properties, the city properties, some of our subdivisions, they will start using our culinary use for outdoor watering. Jason has drafted a very thorough guide to try to help people change their ways. Because we're all going to have to look in the mirror and change our ways a little bit this summer on outdoor watering. Things are going to look a little drier, or a little slower, but the residents have been very impressive so far because irrigation is not on still, and I've seen very few culinary water users. The city, we haven't actually, so we've turned some systems on just to fix some leaks. We haven't watered anything yet. Hoping for some more rain will buy us another week or two. So as far as the culinary usage goes, we're about where we've been in the past years. It usually will run up in the peak of the summer. It'll run up to 1.2 million gallons a day. So we double plus a little bit. We're hoping that if we can, you know, get everybody educated and instructed, they'll understand. They'll understand that we're all going to have to participate in this, irrigation-wise and culinary-wise. I did go talk to a guy today. I looked at his sprinkler timer from years, and he had 5 days. When he shut it off last year, he was watering 5 days a week. And so I told him, I said, we're going to back you down to 2 days and turn it off for a while. In a couple weeks, turn it on. So, but I have seen ample, you know, a lot of residents participating in not watering that have wanted to really bad. I get calls all the time, you know, what's the city's restrictions so far. I think if we can get the word out on the letter that Jason has drafted that we've worked on, people will understand that we all just have to participate. So, but right now the springs are doing great, producing more water than we need as far as culinary use. So we'll see how the summer shapes up.
Did you say that our culinary usage, though, had gone up considerably over the last couple of weeks?
So it's been climbing a little bit. I wouldn't say it's gone up considerably. We were, in the month of March, we hovered in the low 500,000. Yesterday we were 535 yesterday. We were actually in the 400,000 gallons used 2 days ago. So I think people have understood that both sides of the culinary and the pressurized irrigation are going to have to reel it in and work towards, you know, having a drawn out summer to have plenty of water. Like I say, right now the springs are producing, usually in April, just for a history, usually in April, we really struggle because people start turning their outside water on, and irrigation is not there, so they start using culinary to water to get to when the irrigation comes on. And so ours kind of does a peak for a little bit, it ramps up, but then when the irrigation comes on, it kind of comes back down a little bit, and we haven't seen near that climb that we've seen in years past. So hopefully everybody will wait until irrigation's on.
So I would also just ask, in terms of the usage, if we use excessive amounts of culinary on yards, whatnot, then that would that impact fire hydrants?
Not necessarily. You know, as long as we so our well, technically, if we had to run our well, say we had to run our well more this year, it supplies, it produces and supplies enough water for all of our needs without the springs, even on peak flow time. So we shouldn't see, on the culinary side, we shouldn't see, you know, a big change, unless for whatever reasons the springs, you know, stop producing like some towns have seen in the past. We haven't seen it as much. Now, will they produce as much as other years, wet years? Probably not as much, but normally they produce ample, but we actually only use a fraction of what the springs collect and produce.
So is the state still requiring us to turn out Big Spring and Sister Spring?
Yeah, we will. So as of June 1st, we are required by the Division of Drinking Water to turn out Big Spring and Sister Spring, and they have to stay out until October 15th. We usually wait until the last minute till we can go up and turn them back in, depending on, you know, power generation and whatnot. But there's a chance we might have to turn them out a little bit earlier this year because the snow, normally we don't see those springs because they're under snow until June, you know, the end of May, June. And realistically, they're probably not covered in snow at this moment in time. And so if we start having... The problem is if we have rainstorms and they're not covered by the snow, that's when the problem with those two springs happens. So we'll keep an eye on them. Samples have been great. Haven't seen any problem with samples. And if we have to turn them out a little bit earlier, but by June 1st, until the treatment plant's built, on June 1st, those two springs have to be turned out.
Okay. Any questions any of you have before?
Should we? Just the relationship between our hydro plants using the water and our need for culinary, how does that affect our supply of culinary?
So currently, the hydro plant, not because of a little bit of water flows, normally our water flows right now are a little low, so the hydro plant doesn't produce much power. Then when the springs come on, which they're kind of starting to a little slowly, but it's earlier than normal, but they're starting to, then the hydro plant will start producing power. And we usually don't see a whole lot of effect in the summer with them because the spring production is higher than they need to generate, you know. So they've had some issues with the power plants, and so they just haven't been generating for a little bit. But if they decide to generate and the spring flows are there, we don't see a lot of problem on the bottom end. If the flows start to slow down in the plant, it sometimes causes a little bit of grief, but usually that was either right now or clear in November, December, January.
Jason, anybody else coming?
So we will accept the document Corey referred to as our outdoor watering kind of regulations, guidelines, to our team to put it on the website. So look for that. You can also get a copy here at the city office. We have one at the front desk. But the intent is that this is your water system and take care of it when the city completes the construction of the water treatment plant. We will be able to utilize all of our spring flow, we won't have to turn out the other two springs at all, which will help. It will also help preserve aquifer as we utilize mountain spring water, which is our goal. But treated water to put on grass is more expensive than just spring flow water. So just encourage the residents to be cautious utilizing drinking water to water lawn.
Okay. Anybody else? Question? Comment? Thank you. appreciate you being here.
And I clarify that too, because the city, we have a fair amount of acreage that we water with culinary as well.
Farmers, is anybody going to write them a letter and say, don't water farmers
So I think we are all members of Manti City Creek, and technically, as being a member of Manti City Creek, you're welcome to call them up and tell them, because they're the ones that handle all that. Okay, so Jason, I'll turn it over to you for the approval, item number six, approval of Manti City construction standards, and we're very grateful that you have put this together for us so that we have something that those who are constructing can utilize and know that they need to meet certain standards.
So for the residents and a few non-residents of the group here, I am an infrastructure nerd. I've been called that before. I love water systems. I love roads. That's been my career that I've really wanted to pursue. So our new construction standards deal with electrical, roadways, sewer, water, infrastructure, storm drainage features, that we will have one standard that anybody coming to Manti to develop a subdivision to do a city water project, for example, they will all utilize the same standard. So we have drawings that show details of what the structures need to look at. We have specifications that give more insight to what we're trying to accomplish here in the city. I've had Corey and Blake, they've looked this over for, I think we've been on it for a few months now, but we're now set to have the council adopt these construction standards to move forward. And yes, I sent the council a picture of this thing, and I said, woohoo, it's about time.
Do we need to...
We need a formal adoption by the council.
Okay. I will accept a motion to approve the Manti City construction standards as has been presented.
I can make that motion. Make Jason happy.
I will
second that motion.
Motion made by Jen Christiansen and seconded by Megan Johnson. Are there any comments or further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion passes.
Woohoo! Thank you.
Yeah, definitely woohoo. That Manti City now has uniform construction standards for anyone that is coming in to do development, which is great. Next item is the monthly financial report. And Jason, I'll turn it over to you for that.
Thank you, Mayor. So just to go through our budget through the end of March, 75% of the year has been expended, and we're getting down to the final quarter of our fiscal year. So as we look at the revenues in our general fund, you can see the middle column in green, our actual year-to-date for all taxes received is $1,047,688 and change. License and permitting were about 50% at $7,910. Our interlocal government revenues are $425,036 and change. Services and charges are $650,575. 0.38. Fines are $18,761 and change. Miscellaneous revenues are $238,326.96. Contributions, we have not had to do any contributions to date. Transfers hasn't changed from last month. It's still $166,666.64. So you can see there our total revenues to date are $2,554,965.13, or 68% of our projected budget. Moving on to our general fund expenses, the municipal courts is at $43,487.54, roughly 74% of our budget, which is pretty much on track of where we're at. Administration expenses, $416,534 and change. The old city hall is $8,900. The city building is $97,179.86. Just to report to the council, we had some additional water leak on the roof this past week with the rainstorm. We are addressing that, so that could jump substantially depending on what we find on the roof. We've got a few contractors looking at the report. In the city complex, we're at $103,492.20. Public safety is at $289,973.81. Fire department is at $98,897.75. Health services, we are at $22,516. Flood control at $12,942.92. Highway expenses are $121,451.24. Our Class C aerobic expenses are $155,916.83. Waste collection is $212,821.47, or 61% of the expended budget. The Memorial Park is $47,431.94. The pool is at $122,645.34. And just to relate to the pool, that they've been doing some cleaning, hiring lifeguards, and it'll be up and running here next month. For sports recreation, we're at $203,367.74 expended. Our senior center, you can see that we have a very high budget. We're only at $3,700 change, simply because of the CDBG project, which, Brian, I do not know the status of it. We hope to get it improved and reconstructed sometime in Brian's lifetime. That's an exciting idea. The library expenses are $440,440.49. Cemetery expenses are $93,803.14. Airport expenses are $20,529.19. And just to remind the council and those present that the airport is now a three-headed entity, with the county, Ephraim City, and Manti City having ownership at the airport. And our contribution will significantly increase moving into fiscal year 2027, July 1st, just so you're aware of that. economic development expenses to date are $17,242.98. So our total expenses in the general fund are $2,233,286.49. And there's a net revenue over expenses of $321,678.64.
Jason, before you move on to the next one, I know it's not a big budget item compared to some of the others, but I'm just curious about the health services that that entails, since we're 247%, we're double there. I'm not sure.
Do you remember what that was, Matt? I'll dive into that and
okay.
Get more of a detailed report from our general ledger on those services.
Great, thanks.
So our enterprising funds, sorry, this is jumping all over the place. Somebody mentioned a computer? Yes.
Lisa said it always jumped around when he can't use his Apple.
Mine is somewhere in Wawa. I'm still waiting. Say, water revenues to date through the end of March are $715,248.09. You can see our expenses are $551,637.02, or a net revenue over expenses of $163,611.07. As I talked about the water fund, we just wrote two checks totaling $369,000, something like that, for the water treatment plant as we finish design, head towards advertising for that project, so paying for engineering and for equipment for the treatment plant. Our sewer revenues to date through March are $396,321.01. Our sewer expenses are $279,847.14 for net revenues over expenses of $116,473.87. In our power department, revenues and electric fund are $2,148,369.58. And our electric expenses are $1,729,298.29. Our revenue over expenses are $419,070.29. Our special revenue funds, the Municipal Building Authority, is $38,769.21. Our expenses in the MBA are $63,511.88, or we are in the red, $24,732.67. And you can see there the cemetery perpetual care revenues are $18,827.50. Are there any questions from the council on any of these items other than the one you had addressed there on health services?
No, I don't have any questions. Do any of you?
Okay, our taxes are up. The revenue on the taxes is up. Is that, that's encouraging news?
Yeah, we kind of plateau.
Okay.
Because by the end of January, February, we received property taxes from the county.
Okay.
And so it kind of hits a plateau at that point.
I was hoping we were. That's all.
More revenue helps, that's for sure. All right. We will move on to our continuing business then. And we are still doing some work on the annexation subdivision ordinance. We currently have a moratorium which expires in July, and so do we have any update for that in terms of what we need?
Kay was going to give us an update, but not tonight. There.
Right. Okay. We have been working on updating the cemetery ordinance regarding headstone height and plot size, and that public hearing will be scheduled for May 13th. So any of you that are interested in that. The master plan, McKay was going to provide an update for that too. Other items?
Did I see that you're doing a walk around?
I am doing a walk around.
Twice.
Okay.
I think I have it on my calendar now.
Good. Are you going to come?
Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely. I like walking.
We'll try and get a
nice
day. So
look for that. There will be an opportunity to walk with the mayor around. There's one in the daytime, and then there's one in the afternoon-ish time, so that
one on a Saturday morning,
yeah,
and one on a Monday evening.
Monday.
Yeah. So to help walk around and kind of go, what do you want to do in Nantucket City for the next 20 years?
For the general plan.
Yeah.
That's part of the general plan.
10
years. Get ideas.
20 years.
It's 10.
10 years.
10.
May I ask a question to the public?
Absolutely, please.
So do you all know that we have a general plan? Do you have any pages that document currently is?
Too many.
Yeah, this is small.
Yeah.
It has 218 or 217 pages. It's very, very detailed and complex, and we plan to reduce that to 40, no more than 60, with a lot of diagrams and photos to help me. Okay.
Picture
with crayons.
And help some others.
I'm okay with the marker. But one of the things that we recently discovered is, where is our vision statement or our mission statement for Manti City? Well, it's on page 18 at the bottom right hand of this 218-page document, right? We're going to simplify that and put that on page number one, okay?
So we obviously would like to receive as much public input as we can get for our general plan, which is our roadmap for the coming decade. So any of you that would like to give us some input and be involved with that, we'd appreciate your help. I don't have any update on the Veterans Memorial. We just keep these on so that we know that we have some issues to work up on those. The America 250, do we have any updates from you two that are?
We did have a meeting with our chairman, and we're moving forward with plans. We approved shirts to be half printed, and when we were looking upstairs, when the leak was going on, we found some items upstairs that we will be putting out at the 4th of July for people to take advantage of. There are, I don't know if any, well, some of you are familiar with Albert Entre. He did quite a bit for Manti City as far as the history of Manti City. We found 15 cases of high drying off sites, which is a book he wrote on the history of Manti City. And why they're sitting upstairs not being in people's homes, I don't know, but we're going to work on that and see if we can get those out into the public's hands. So that will be going on. Manti City will have a booth at the 4th of July, and those will be available. We also have some other items that we've got up there that we'll like wire these up here. They should be out. Anyway, so things are well on their way to having a good 4th of July celebration this year.
Thank you. And again, one of the items that we want to continue to visit is economic development and any improvement that we can make in that sphere. Council member reports. I'm going to start down on this end since I will start on that end. Well, probably everyone's fine with that. Mary.
Jen and I both went to the San Pete County Chamber of Commerce lunch. Thank you. It was really interesting. Mike Valerie from Crossing gave an update on what's going on there. Of course, they're moving forward. It sounds like there will be a La Quinta hotel that will be breaking ground sooner than later on that. There will be retail operations that they will be building for. Industrial is coming in. I know with Soap Creek, he talked about they are planning on putting three industrial-sized buildings in there. The first one will be like 10,000 square feet. Is that what he said? Anyway, the city has told them they need to have like 600 parking spaces for people who work there. So that's kind of it. They will also be coming up with an incubation building for industry to use. Charter school has been approved. American Preparatory Academy will be doing K-6 school. It will be opening, I believe I saw yesterday, it will be opening in 2029 is what it said, but they are taking applications now for it. Yeah, like 28, 29 year is when they'll open that. They're also looking at a gas station, a C-store, and they are so desperately hoping that they'll get a grocery store at some point in time. They're in discussions with a couple of them, but they're still working on that. He did say if things don't, you know, they are not going to go forward if the demand is not there. So all this is looking good right now, but is it really going to happen? Only if people invest. So purchase the home.
Where is
this at? This is Ephraim Crossing over in Ephraim. This was Mike Ballard that gave an update on what that was at the Chamber of Commerce, the Santa County Chamber of Commerce, which is kind of really good. They have done a lot. It was really fun. We did it in the upstairs at the co-op, and it was full. It was a full.
Over 100 people.
Yeah, easily over. I think there were closer to 200 when I counted the tables. Because there were how many tables, and there were eight at the table, and so there was a bunch of us there. So it was good to hear all of that. There will be a parade of homes the end of August and 1st of September, too, because they now have the San Pete County Home Builders Association that is in process, and they're going to have a parade of homes around the end of August and 1st of September. I think that's all I have tonight.
Thank you, Mary. Hey, Jake.
I don't have anything to report.
Jen?
I just have a couple things. Piggybacking on the Chamber of Commerce, they are having their San Pete Home Garden Show right here in Manti at the San Pete County Fair Park building, the 24th and 25th. So since it's right here in Manti, they have a fun Friday night, family fun night with bingo and dinner, sounds like, and then they've got a bunch of classes on Saturday. So
this is April?
April, so a week from this Friday, so April 24th and 25th. And then the other thing I have is, it's called Community Night. It's sponsored by Intermountain Healthcare and Central Utah Counseling Center. It's held in Mount Pleasant, but it's Intermountain Health. They want to include their whole community that they serve, so they have obviously patients in Manti and Ephraim and all over, so they include resources from most all over the county, mostly us and north, but like LifeLight will be there, lots of information booths from just resources that are available to all of us. But they have a free dinner, so you can go out there, you get free dinner. They have giveaways for life jackets and a gun safe, actually, an ATV helmet. But it will also be the first activity that our youth council will be doing a table at to try and get involved and promote. This one is April 27th. It's a Monday night from 5 to 7. And it's in Mount Pleasant at the 180 Field House there right on State Street. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Next. Brian.
I just have 8 or 10 things. No, I just wanted to just quickly mention, Jen and I are working on a grant from Central Utah Health that helps benefit our youth. It's tied into the Student Health and Risk Prevention Survey, which identifies demographically challenges that the youth are having in the area, whether it's drugs, alcohol, vaping, the pouches and packets now, or screen time, or mental health. assistance. So there's all those kinds of things. So this grant can be used to do some things that can help our youth. And we've got some really good ideas. We've got a youth council that's in place and to get some ideas. But that is going to be submitted by the end of the month. I think they award it by July the 3rd, if I remember right, if I remember what I saw.
In June, because I think fiscal year we get money.
Oh, June, yeah. So, don't want to say too much about it now because there's a lot of moving parts, but look for some potentially really, really good things coming for our youth and Manti that are much needed.
Thank you, Brad. And thanks to the two of you for doing the footwork to put that together. Applying for grants can be a real pain. Okay, administrative reports. Jason.
Just a couple things. First and foremost, I want to thank our city staff. Our employees are just absolutely great, top-notch. I love the training that the guys are going to better themselves, to better Manti. I strongly encourage and promote that for our guys. Appreciate Corey and Blake and the great supervisors that they are of our departments. I also participated today in a Zoom meeting with UDOT, Ephraim City, and Santa Fe County, as the Utah Trails Network has identified Manti to Ephraim as a favorable bike path along Highway 89. One of the caveats to that is maintenance. UDOT would construct 100% of the project, but maintenance would be on Manti City, Ephraim City, and Santa Fe County. So I have not had a chance to look through the agreement that they proposed for us, but that's something we need to vet appropriately to see if we can participate in that financially. So it's anticipated to be a 10 to 12 foot wide travel lane. Primarily their study was the east side of Highway 89 from Johnson Road to 700 South in Ephraim, so 5.5 miles. So we need to look at that. UDOT is going to be giving us some maintenance costs per mile of what that would look like, and we'll just have to, with the three entities, determine if that's something we can handle. I mean, I've seen a number of bicyclists riding to and fro to Ephraim Manti, so that's more ongoing discussions with that. The other discussion items that I have actually are closed session with the sale purchase of property and litigation there. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you very much. In terms of my comments, just a reminder that we have Utah League of Cities and Towns. Oh, sorry, Ms. Wright went right past that. Yes, we do. Thank you. We do have an opportunity now for public comment on any of the things. If you'd like to make public comment for any of the things that we've been discussing, please come to the podium, state your name, and resident or non-resident.
Heather West, I'm a resident. I know water is a big concern for a lot of us, and this has not been a great water year as far as snowfall. So I know other communities have given financial incentives to residents to either xeriscape their lawns or plant, rip out the grass, which is water guzzler, and then put in plants or another variety of grass that doesn't take up so much water. And with emphasis on plants that are drought resistant and don't require a lot of watering. And I just want to put that out there that may be something, whether it be a tax break or, I don't know, some sort of incentive for people to put in either just stop watering their lawns or put in stuff. You know, you can put, you can rip out the grass and put in like pretty rocks. There's things that you can do to make your lawn, to make it a beautiful, to make it your, you know, in front of your house beautiful and yet not use up a lot of water. So just want to put that out there as an idea if that's something that we want to consider in the future.
Thank you. By the way, one of the things we want to make sure to do is keep our wonderful trees alive and manti. So try to do that.
Hi, my wife's resident. I was just on Jason's portion when he goes over the financials, just to kind of save some time, I would suggest maybe cut off the cents or go over the percentages instead of something, kind of, so I don't know, there was like a legal reason you needed to go through the exact numbers, but I think that would just knock it down on the time a little bit. That's the suggestion. Thank
you. Does anyone else have a comment?
Wait till next month.
All right. Moving on to number 12. Again, the only thing I have is just a reminder that the mid-year Utah League of Cities and Towns Conference is next week, and hopefully everybody will make it. I think everyone's signed up for it, and they will have some excellent training there, and one of their main topics is going to be water. All right. Since our city manager indicated that we need to have a closed session, we will do a roll call vote for that. But before that, we will make a motion to pay the bills following adjournment. And so if anyone would like to make a motion to pay the bills following adjournment.
I will motion. Pay the bills.
Good thing to do.
Right.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Motion made by Megan Johnson and seconded by A.J. Maurer to pay the bills following adjournment. And now I will accept a motion to... Oh, thank you for keeping... Yes, we do need to say aye. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. I will now accept a motion to convene to close session.
I'll make a motion that we move to close session.
And I should say to discuss litigation and
sale, lease, purchase of property.
Thank you. Second. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, motion made by Brian Francois, seconded by A.J. Maurer. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Megan?
We should wait till the room is dispersed before we do roll call.
But I thought we had to do moving into the session. We had to do an individual vote. Megan?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
AJ?
Yes.
Jen?
Yes.
Sorry, it's a lot of Brian.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you again for coming to our meeting tonight. Appreciate your involvement and comments.